Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyanangana Salakaya Chakshurumiditam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Si Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadadmayam Dadati Shvabhadatikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Shahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sijivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakam Bitamcha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishvare Vishubhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja ki, as Prabhupada dictated. And they're so coherent, they're so philosophically rich, great detail. So it's really some of his best work. But he does this, mind you, on his deathbed. So this is someone who is not on the material platform. He's not a person of the material world. It's like the example of a lotus flower. The lotus flower, it actually grows out of mud. But because of its stem and its waxy covering, it's not in any way contaminated by either the mud or the water. In a similar way, the pure devotee is like the lotus. He's living in this world, but he's not of it. He's in the world, but he's not actually living here in a sense. Because he's here with his so-called form, which appears to be a material body, which Prabhupada used to walk and talk and to do so many things. But it was so clear from what he did. His activities were so exalted. He was so much absorbed in Krishna's service 24 hours a day, that he never allowed any bodily inconvenience to slow him down, to prevent him from fulfilling his mission. And he pushed himself. He hardly slept. He constantly traveled. And he always followed his schedule, no matter what. So he did that right to the last moment of his life. So that's something truly, truly amazing. So we have that example of a person who did this, of the pure devotee. Otherwise, for us, we hear the histories of great Vaishnavas. There are so many works we can hear. Yes, we can hear about Srila Rupa Goswami and the other six Goswamis. We can hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can hear about so many associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can hear about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even closer. But we have someone even closer than that to us. Srila Prabhupada, who was there up until 1977. So it's very close. It's not very far away from where we are today. So we have this example. We have him captured on film. We have him captured on audio recordings. We have him captured in so many photos. We have him captured in the minds of so many of his close associates who have written books about him, who can speak from their heart and their realization of being with Prabhupada and living Prabhupada. And they can share that with us. So we can very easily be connected with this very special personality, the Shaktivesh Avatar, the personality who came to give Krishna consciousness in the Kali Yuga. Many people may have done something to spread Krishna consciousness, but Prabhupada was the person who took Krishna consciousness from the subcontinent of India and he implanted it in the Western world and then all over the world. So you can speak about this guru and that guru doing this and doing that. And yes, they may have done many wonderful things, but in comparison to what Prabhupada did, it's very, very tiny. What he did was something extraordinary. Something superhuman. Something which is totally transcendental. Impossible for an ordinary person to do. It said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that unless one is divinely empowered by Krishna, one cannot actually spread Krishna consciousness all over the world like Prabhupada did. He was divinely empowered. And he did it. So we are so fortunate to be in this position of being in this society. Because nowadays, there are so many societies, so many Vaishnava societies. This one, that one. Recently we saw an advertisement in some circular that goes out to the Indian community, some other person saying that Hare Krishna, we have just come to Manila, and we so much like the people of Manila and the Philippines. We want to share Vedic knowledge with them. We have come to give them this. But they're part of another society. They're not part of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. So we're in a special position. Not that we have to have false ego and have that kind of material pride, but there's a kind of spiritual pride that we can all have, that we are fortunately linked into siblic succession with this amazing personality, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. We are linked with Him. And he is linked through the siblic succession to Krishna. So we're so fortunate to be connected with him. So this society is not ordinary. It will never be ordinary. And it can never be compared with any other Vaishnava society or organization anywhere in the world. Not even close. No one can even come close. The things that Prabhupada created that continue to go on and to expand. And yes, despite the problems, the faults, the mistakes, ISKCON thrives today. And it's going on and on and on, and it's fulfilling the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the holy name will be heard in every town and village of the world. ISKCON is doing that. It has already done a lot of that. By Prabhupada's mercy, the Hare Krishna mantra has been heard by millions and millions and millions of persons all over the world. That is the mercy of Prabhupada. That is the mercy of his society. You cannot separate Prabhupada's society from him himself. He said, ISKCON is my body. That's what he said. ISKCON is my body. He said, the BBT is my heart. So you can't separate his society from him. It's not possible. People try to do this. They try to somehow isolate Prabhupada and say this philosophy and that philosophy without having to get into that nonsense. They'll isolate Prabhupada and say, yes, Prabhupada, 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 but Prabhupada society, well, it's this, it's that, it's this, it's that, and he did this, and she said that, and this, and that, and this, and go. It's convenient. It's convenient. If you want to, you know, if you want to tout a philosophy, it's convenient. You can use Prabhupada and make him the emblem of your philosophy, you know. Yeah, obviously. No one can find fault with Prabhupada. He's as we said, a Shaktifish avatar, empowered personality. But it's convenient. Use him in a similar way that people use Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, you can use him in that way. And people do. But the fact is that this is Prabhupada's movement. He didn't start their movement, but he started ISKCON. This is Prabhupada. So if one wants Prabhupada, and if he wants Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the way that Prabhupada gave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we have to link with Prabhupada through his society, through his devotees. And this way, we can be connected, actually. And this is what Prabhupada envisioned for the world. He never thought small. He said that. He said, my disease is that I cannot think small. So Prabhupada always thought on a grand scale. Once when he had nothing, literally nothing, and he was sitting in a park, maybe it was Thompson Square Park, on a bench, and there was an older man next to him. He got in a conversation with that man, and the man said, he asked him, well, tell me about your society. Tell me, what do you have? And Prabhupada said, we have many, many thousands of devotees. We have many, many temples. And we have many activities. And so the person asked, well, where can I visit? He said, only time separates us from that. Only time. Because he was envisioning this huge international society of many temples and devotees of all nationalities spread throughout the world when he had nothing. It was very clear in his mind that this was going to happen. And it did, because Krishna fulfilled his desire. Krishna wanted him to do it. Prabhupada wanted to do it for Krishna. So Krishna facilitated that and empowered him to do exactly what he wanted. And he did it. And ISKCON is the result. So there's an old saying, the persons they used to refer to England, that despite all the faults, I still love thee. A true Englishman will always say this. Despite the horrendous weather and so many other problems, a true Englishman will always say that for all thy faults, I still love thee. So in a similar way, a true follower of Srila Prabhupada and a true follower of his society, ISKCON, will, no matter what, despite the difficulties, the struggles, the faults, the mistakes, he will always say that I still love thee. And he will always continue to his or her last breath to assist Prabhupada in trying to spread his mission all over the world. So that is really our responsibility. It's a responsibility for each and every devotee. It's not a responsibility of a few persons. We inherit that. Each devotee inherits this. Don't look to Radha Leela Mataji and think that it's her problem, that she should do it. Anytime there's a problem, just ask her. She'll take care of it. Rather, we should be thinking that each of us should take responsibility. Each of us have some ability. We have God-given talent, ability to do something. Maybe we've been given musical ability. Maybe we have artistic ability. Maybe we have ability in the culinary arts. Perhaps we're good in business, management, organization, whatever it might be. We each have something that we can offer. If nothing else, we can offer our labor. But each of us has something that we can offer, and we should think, we should tax our brains how we can harness that we have within us, and we can use it in the service of Prabhupada and ISKCON. That's everybody's responsibility. It's not a 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 people's responsibility. It's each member of ISKCON. Each of us has that responsibility to do that. Take the responsibility. Do something. Use your life in a useful way to assist Prabhupada and to actually accomplish something in this lifetime. You should think, how am I, as an individual, going to leave a legacy on behalf of Prabhupada? What am I going to do to make a mark? Something that will, you know, last for generations to come. Each of us has the ability to do that if we truly want to. Because with our desire, Krishna responds. If we have the strong desire to actually assist Prabhupada and actually spread his mission, Krishna will reciprocate with that desire. Prabhupada will reciprocate with the desire, and we will be able to do amazing things. As it said, for one who thinks of Lord Chaitanya, the impossible becomes possible. But for one who forgets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the possible becomes impossible. So we can say the same thing about Prabhupada. For one who actually meditates upon him and one who prays to him and takes shelter of his lotus feet, then the impossible becomes possible. But if we don't do that, the simplest thing will become very difficult. Even the simplest thing. So what does that mean? We're taking shelter of Prabhupada, we're taking shelter of Krishna, we're taking shelter of the Vaishnavas. That's how we can become empowered. That's the secret, Prabhupada said. That's how we can actually accomplish something significant. So we should pray like that. That in this lifetime that we're able to actually accomplish something significant. Each of us. Meditate on that. What can we do to really assist Prabhupada and make a mark in this world and do something? That was a real ramble, wasn't it? I didn't plan for that. Sorry. I now have an offering that I like to read, which I wrote. We did not get the actual edition of the regular Vyas Puja book. We got another version, which is a compilation of offerings of different devotees around the world. But the other main book we have not gotten, but I wrote this, and it's included in that book, which hopefully we will get, right? Some point in the future, near future. Again, we're looking to Radha Leela. Where's the book? So I've entitled this Srila Prabhupada's Depth of Compassion. My dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to your divine grace. Now, bear in mind I wrote this in the beginning, towards the beginning of the year. Over the past year, I have been thinking a lot about the depth of your compassion. In an endless variety of ways, your compassion seems to have depth beyond comprehension. One verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam nicely describes your position. Quote, even though one is in the renounced order, one who is advanced certainly feels compassion for suffering living entities. One should certainly neglect his own personal interests, although they may be very important, to protect one who has surrendered. End quote. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 8th chapter, 10th verse. While you were physically with us, you gave up all personal interest and worked tirelessly to relieve the suffering of others. You continue to do that through inspiring your disciples and grand disciples. So many of your followers have inherited your mood of compassion and sincerely strive to relieve the suffering of others. But it is clear that the source of that compassion springs from you. I have personally experienced many facets of your compassion while staying at Bhaktivedanta Hospital for treatment. Your presence is felt so strongly here. In the form of your murti, you give darshan to every soul that enters the hospital. Your lectures and bhajans are broadcast throughout the entire hospital 24 hours a day. All of the staff members are devotees or are favorable to Krishna consciousness. Most wear neck beads and apply tilak to their foreheads. The entire staff chants the Shikshastikam prayers at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 9 p.m. each day. One senior devotee then speaks in the Srimad Bhagavatam or Shikshastikam verse while everyone listens attentively. Small deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra are taken on a rolling cart to each hospital patient so they can take darshan and make an offering of flowers if they wish. All of this combined makes the atmosphere spiritually powerful, just like in one of your temples. Your dear disciple, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who is carrying you in his heart, is the inspiration for all of this. He told me, "The devotees of Bhaktivedanta Hospital feel honored to serve you." I have personally realized this. Over the past 6 months, I have met many doctors, nurses, and devotees from various departments. All of them have inherited a large measure of your compassion and are continuously delivering it to every soul they come in contact with. I have never met such loving, caring, and truly compassionate devotees in my life. Their entire being is enveloped in the mood of offering service to everyone without exception. This has also been the experience of God brothers, God sisters, and other devotees who visit. While associating with them, the topic of compassion and the service attitude of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital devotees naturally comes up. Srila Prabhupada, they see you as behind all of this. Many of them are reminded of how you display the same mood of compassion. They have shared many wonderful pastimes with me. The most notable and relevant pastime is one that your disciple, Jamuna Devi Dasi, recently shared with me. In the fall of 1970, Jamuna Mataji was serving in Delhi. One day, she received a telegram from you requesting her to come join you in Indore. You wanted her to lead kirtan at the preaching programs that were being arranged. She traveled by train from Delhi to Indore. When she arrived in Indore, you and Devananda Swami were waiting on the station platform to receive her. You personally garlanded her and welcomed her to Indore. You then led her to the car that would take the three of you to the place you were staying. Jamuna Mataji and Devananda Swami sat in back, and you sat in front. When you arrived at the ashram, a four-sided compound, you took Jamuna Mataji to her room. You took a key out of your pocket and opened the room. The room was simple, but you asked Jamuna Mataji if everything was all right. Jamuna Mataji saw there was a bed, a metal cabinet, and a vase of flowers on a table. You then enthusiastically pulled another key out of your pocket and said this was for the metal storage cabinet. You told Jamuna Mataji that she could place her valuables there. Jamuna Mataji was overwhelmed by your kindness and thanked you for being so considerate. You held up to 5 programs a day in Indore. You often rested at 11 p.m. at night, but still rose at 1 a.m. to begin your translation work. While in Indore, you translated in one corner of a large hall in the compound where you were residing. Jamuna Mataji took every opportunity she could to be near you during those early morning hours. She found a back door to the hall and would come in quietly to sit in the back of the darkened corner of the room. There she quietly chanted her rounds with closed eyes. This went on for several mornings. She didn't think you knew she was there. So she was surprised when one morning she felt your presence near her. When she opened her eyes, she saw you standing right in front of her. You had walked straight to the back of the hall where she was sitting and said, "Thank you for chanting like that. Thank you very much." You said nothing more and walked back to your translation desk. Later that same week, Jamuna Mataji had finished her rounds and was reading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in dim light from an old lamp she had found. Again, you walked straight up to her and said, "Thank you for reading my books. Thank you very much." You then walked back to your translation desk and said nothing more. From this very intimate and sweet exchange, it is obvious that you deeply cared about each and every aspect of your disciples' lives. You are most loving, caring, and compassionate. You truly cared about the welfare of not only your disciples, but of all mankind. Your every thought, word, and deed were expended in the service of others. As the Bhagavatam verse above says, you sacrifice your personal interest to give shelter to anyone who would accept it. Whatever we have understood about compassion has come from studying and following your example. We are undoubtedly far from your standard of compassion, but whatever measure of compassion we have inherited from you is capable of melting the hearts of many souls. I stand before you this Vyas Puja day as a humble beggar. I beg for a single drop of the compassion you had for others. If you will grant me this wish, I vow to use this gift in service to you. Let me serve others wholeheartedly, without any thought of self-interest, and let me offer the results of this service to your lotus feet. Your servant, Giridhara Swami. Srila Prabhupada ki. So now, I think we're going to have Abhishek of Srila Prabhupada's deity here. So devotees can watch, and we'll have kirtan while we have the Abhishek. Devotees assemble. Haribo. Got the cartels, please. Navadvip, you ready? Okay, you're going to start? You can move closer. There's plenty of room here today. There's plenty of room. Now, we're expecting a few hundred more devotees coming, but we're not sure exactly when they're going to come. So you can come closer and see the Abhishek. You're fortunate because you can see everything very close up. But. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada.